So this pathway to joy.
Pathway to joy. Searching for Hashem. People notice that when you try to serve Hashem and try to be happy, we hit on barriers. We hit things that snag us, make it very hard to be happy, very hard to stay focused. We just lose touch. So, Nachman explains that it's not by accident. That is because it's time to go to the next level. So it's something called Yirida L'Tzor Chaliyah. You have to descend before the ascent. You have to struggle a little bit to get to the next level. So the Gnostic explains that the Rebbe really gives us advice. He says, so what do I do? So fine, I hit the snag. Now I'm sorry. So now what? Torah is not shining the same way. The davening is hard to daven. My brachos are not as good. This is a problem. That's a problem. Another problem. Everything's a problem. Because, okay, I'm a Yirida. That's very nice. What do I do now? How do I change that? What do I do? And you have to turn to Hashem and say, Ayi, Richard, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? He said, because you have to know, it's so beautiful. Whatever he says, Augustine explains, he said, when it's time to go to the next level, you're really becoming a completely new creation. You're being recreated. So before creation, well, first creation, what was there? There was chaos, right? Toh, Vavoh, Choshev, darkness, all this stuff you have to go through again to become reconstituted new and fresh and be able to bring the light in. 100%. It's time to go up. You're renewed, so you have to be recreated. So you have to search. He said, I am the first Maimon, the gracious Baal Kin. The Rebbe explains, so beautiful. And that's the Rebbe explains that there are 10 Maimonim. Hashem said there will be light, Hashem said let there be light, Hashem said this, Hashem said that. Right, Elohim said. So, there are 9. What's the 10th? Gracious Elohim, the Gemara says. In the beginning, Hashem created, right? That's the Tikkun HaZohar explains, it's a hidden mind. It doesn't say, it's not a command, it's sort of hidden. So that is the underpinning, that is the basis, the foundation of creation. That's the foundation of creation. So, how do I get there when I need to be recreated? I need to get to this searching Hashem, where are you? This, in the beginning, Hashem created. So I have to be hit with things that make me call out and say, Hashem, where are you? Where are you? But Augustine says explicitly, he says, sometimes you hit with a challenge, you have a fall in. And that makes you start to really wake up and say, Hashem, please, where are you? Search and fight and struggle. He says, that's the purpose of the fall. That's the idea. That's what it's for. But to reactivate me is to reconnect me. So there are different aspects of avodah. One aspect is when you know the whole world is filled with Hashem. You feel it. Everything's working. Everything goes from you. Everything's happening. It's shining. So that's wonderful. That's what you feel. That's great. He said, but sometimes you're not able to be focused. This is something that the Gemara tells us to be tulsa 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 kiyuma. Sometimes you have to not learn. You have to be involved in other things. Like the Chosimava says, if you don't work out money, money's not worked out, you're not going to be able to separate yourself from this world long. You don't have food, you're in trouble. You have to have something set up, you have a family, you have to make sure things are dealt with. You can't just like say, it'll work out. You gotta do what you need to do to make sure that somehow it's gonna come together. Otherwise, you will not be able to separate, you will not have any yeshiva dash, you'll have no tranquility, no tranquility, you won't be able to do anything. So, when I need to do these sort of things, when I need to be involved in what I need to be involved in, it's very hard for me to stay connected. What do I do then? So that's again, absurd. You see, Yiddish, where are you? Aye, where are you? I can't find you, Hashem. Shine it to me. And Hashem does. And then everything is the way it's supposed to be. Everything is how it's supposed to work. Torah and Derech Eretz. The Mishnah tells us Torah is good with Derech Eretz. If nothing says Derech Eretz is yearning. You're going throughout. Derech Eretz means you do the thing necessary in the world. You're in the world. Torah with your heart. Your heart says, not, you're not with Torah then. So then you have to, we have to accustom to your Hashem. Where are you? Where in the world are you? Shine into me. Help me.
I do that when I go to the mikvah.
Mashrecha. That makes sense. That's the way it's for. Just to be, you should be careful not to have a heart attack after this. You know, try to relax, not to. But yes, wake us up, wake up, siren, like wake up. I'm gonna wake up. I'm
gonna it's spreading down the three flights of stairs.
Oh boy.
In the dark.
Oh yeah. So we think, I don't know, it's not really true, but something besides it, they're not to kill. But you know, the author of Kelm points out, Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen because he felt. He said, just look at what the Torah tells us about him. It says that he saw the people's pain. Rashi says he thought about it and it affected him, it bothered him. He saw people's pain. He saw someone beating up him. He couldn't stand it. He saw people fighting. He couldn't stand it. He ran away. He sees these two women shepherds. People are persecuting them. There's a little adultery. Also, justice. He was very into justice. He cared for people. He cared. It bothered him. So that was why he was chosen. Rebbe says he saw a sheep wandering, he carried the sheep back. No, he was thirsty, he cares. The caring, that's what the Torah is telling us, all these different facts about nature. That is the bottom line of what of who is supposed to be the greatest conduit of bringing Geula, the person who cares the most. That's what it comes down to. It's a very powerful, wonderful meter to have. So at least we need to yearn for it, we need to realize very far in Europe. So just pay attention. What does it mean when a person doesn't feel? What does it really feel? What do we don't feel? Shalim, what's what, no alarms, no this, that's a feel. If we wake up our feeling, if we wake up our caring.
It's also an illness. Mm-hmm. It's also an illness to feel too much.
Oh, yes, sure. Because he's not really feeling the other person, he's feeling himself. You know, I'm worried, I'm this, I'm like, it's not good either. You have to be careful with the balance. But if I'm feeling, I'll like automatically act. Act. Greatest people, and there's a problem, they move fastest. You know where we really are. And sometimes we just see, oh, I didn't move, I didn't take care of this person who fell or whatever it is. I have a serious deficiency. I need to work on that. The person who really, he cares. If you're uncaring, you're uncaring. To work on caring. Something you easy to be in a place. This is very convenient. I don't have any problems. What's the deal?
It's a very interesting topic. I mean, to see maybe sometimes people ask, well, how does Hashem relate to people or even possibly animals? You know, when we say, like, he feeds, he satisfies the needs of every living thing, including every animal. But also, you have everything from, you know, Amalek to, you know, because we humans, we see people with wealth or whatever, and they're not necessarily good people. So it's, how do you judge? How does a person judge properly?
Well, wealth is its own topic. And it's true. Wealth can really mess a person up. It's a very, very hard test to deal with. What do you do when you're so powerful, people look up to you for what? For what? But he does have power, he does have the ability to do things, he feels himself. It's hard to just divest from that and say, well, I don't care. Especially someone who's worked so hard to make his fortune. You know, the guy is more laid back, he doesn't really care. So, he doesn't understand this driven person's craziness when he gets the money together. It's very not easy. And it's not easy to see the greatness of the people who are driven, but he's like, you gotta be normal about money. Like, that's amazing. The guy's got the drive, so he wants to say, wow, how did he separate this money? The money I have to be normal about. I don't feel like I do this, I'm not gonna go off the deep end because I've got a few million dollars. That's fantastic. That's a lot of deep inner work for this person. Or things that were ingrained in him, it's greatness. That's for sure. In terms of Hashem's caring for every human being and every animal, there's a big difference. Human beings, we have a higher soul. That means that the world was created for us. Animals contain sparks of souls. And they have a life force. But it's just totally, totally not the same. What now? What does that mean? And what is like? What would happen when everything's fixed? What about the animals? Why were there animals to begin with? Just so it's just to fall? I don't know the answer. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, in terms of, there are some fascinating things that Reese says, but in terms of, from our perspective, there's a very big difference. Yes, Hashem does care about the animals. That's for sure true. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. That's what he wants. Why? I don't know why. They're serving a purpose, that's for sure. But what the purpose is, I have no idea.
But weren't certain people reincarnated into animals? Such as those that were caught in the Tower of Babel.
We spoke about this already before, I think, which is that there's a very essential difference, a big difference between Jewish reincarnation and, let's say, Indian reincarnation, for example. The Indian reincarnation believes that Fido might have the soul of someone in the animal itself. That if you kick Fido, you kicked Fred. And Fido is very respectable. He deserves respect, of course. He's very great. And so Bessie the cow, whatever it is exactly, Bessie is Baruch, right? And now he's in the cow. We don't believe that. We believe that a soul can be trapped in an animal. And sometimes maybe even take control of the animal's movements. But the soul is not just in the animal's head. The animal, you kill the animal, you didn't kill the soul at all. My experience with the animal is going through, but it's not in the mind of the animal. Because otherwise the soul, by definition, has to have the ability for more interaction, as it were. Otherwise, it's not a human soul now. It's not activated. It's not really there. So if the kli is a dog kli or a cow kli, I cannot have a human soul in there. Just as a trap. So Augustine has long discussions about
it. So it's like a prison?
Yeah. As one person put it, it's like being trapped in an elevator, just a million times worse. You'll never get out until the time is right. When you learn the Shah of Bulan, it's really, like, crazy. It says, like, there are seasons. If you're trapped in an animal, you have a few months to leave. Then you stay the rest of the next year. You have to be ready by a certain time. And that's to do with what people do and interacting and sparks and sometimes what you did in the world, how that pans out, better, worse. That's why Rosh Hashanah says that they judge the dead too. Why judge the dead? Because of what they did, what's accruing, what's happening because of what I did and what we did, what each person did. What's happening? Is it helping people? Did we ruin someone now? More ruin and more ruin and more ruin and more destruction? That's going to have to be dealt with. And that gives a stain which needs to be erased by sometimes just waiting and, you know, having a special fun of being trapped in or whatever it may be. And then the next thing and the next thing and the next thing until we're Zohar.
So if the animal's doing tshuva,
the animal can't do tshuva. The animal does not have the intelligence to do tshuva or to understand tshuva. There is a medrash. The medrash tells us about the animal sing shuva to Hashem. But that mustama means that either being here they are singing shuva from Hashem, or that some spiritual something which is in charge of them, whatever, is singing to Hashem. Not that the animal has the intelligence to sing to Hashem. Does not. It can feel things. It has a special connection. Sometimes we can be, we can be astounded when an animal can feel. There was a tsunami. They ran away. They know things which we don't.
They can see things.
They know things which we don't see or know. And these animals, they ran to high ground and they survived. The stupid people who didn't know what they were doing, they died, which is like hard to see. Like, what do you mean? Well, how did the animals know to run away from?
Like because birds, they can see, like, in the air, they can see different, like, altitude level models. And, like, elephants have their own language and, like, rituals.
Sure. Sure.
Or cats seeing demons.
They state. But it doesn't mean that the animal has the intelligence of the soul like a person. It does not. But the animal's there for a reason. It's not for no reason.
Well, Kichi keeps waking me up so I can do her sos.
There you go, Ashrecha. Shem Yazora. But no, there's no, it's a, there are definitely, there is such a thing, like I said, Shem is a long, I don't remember the story. I don't remember, it didn't, it was very fascinating about this animal which was communicating. But there was a soul, not exactly, not embedded in that in the mind, but there was a soul that was trapped, and that this person was able to communicate to an animal. Now, Rios has a story like that. Where he goes up on the table, and says, this is so-and-so, and this animal now, he can take over now. But it doesn't mean that the person is 24/7 in a goat brain. Otherwise, it can't be a person. It's about, even though intelligent animals, it's still not the same, presumably. I would assume. As far as what I've seen. I can't say more. It's not, you know, I don't know. It's true that the animals can see, says dogs also see certain things, right? The Mahamavas or the Anavi or this or that. It does bring this concept. But I don't, you know, I'm not going to pretend to really understand it. I don't. But there's, I don't understand the sense. Sorry. Oh. So anyway, that's also part of this idea of the eye. We have to start to search and yearn, which Lord help me, shine into me the ability to be more sensitive, to be more understanding. So that's why the Torah also was given in the desert after an exile. So we didn't have the exile to draw down his foot to get the Torah. But we had to search, where are you, until we get the Torah. It's the same thing. Every exile, the end of the first exile, what happened? We took the Torah, we received the Torah with love. Now also, the gigantic exile was supposed to bring Mashiach and just for good, keepers, so that we have to really yearn. Like I said, if a siren, we have to yearn. At least, it's hoping we should really be walking down the street yearning. We'll try. But this is a very easy way of using negative feeling. Because if nothing, he puts it so well. Like I said really before, he says, a person naturally is lazy. He says, what, I'm supposed to search for Hashem? Well, it sounds like such a great idea. He said, when it's hard, I have no choice, I have to search. So when it's difficult and I'm feeling bad, I have to use it to search for Hashem. I don't have to stay in that place. I don't have to stay in the challenge of the, the fear, the worry. I have to be there. So, I was speaking with someone. Said, I'm worried about something. So I'm worried. It doesn't do good to tell me, look at this positive point, look at that positive point. I'm worried about a problem. So the truth is, when we worry, we're choosing to think about what's worrying us. And if I want, I can change that into yearning or something. Where are you? I am. That's what I can do. It's a choice I make. So if I'm a worried person, I'm stressed about the person, it's hard to meet them for a reason, so it's sad. But I can choose to change that. I don't have to stay the same. I don't have to keep tormenting myself, whatever for. So to me, if I want, I can torment myself. I can stay in the same pattern. I can say, if this isn't the way I have a plan, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Something goes out of order. Electric box. I'm an electric box, right? If something doesn't, an appliance isn't working where I like, I just shut up. Anti execution. So we don't have an anti execution. We just sort of boom. What happened? Okay, so it didn't go my plan. Okay, it's right, it's wrong. It can work out. Like, try to be, have a real understanding. What's the person, how is the person related to me? What are they going through? What do they mean? What are they thinking? They don't think anything. Well, what about this? What about that? What about those? It's all crazy. It's all not real. It's all shuns out of the picture. On the contrary, I have to be able to yearn for a child. So, where are you in my life? Let me be sensitive. Let me connect to you. Let me get angry today. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get upset. I have hard work to do. I'll do the work that way. I'm not going to get upset for that reason. It doesn't help. Because I'm going to be a better worker. I'm not going to be better that way. I'll be
home. Can you say Hashem already?
Huh?
We know what that answer is.
No, we don't, because I feel far. I feel far.
I didn't say that. I'm talking about distance. But where are you? Hashem is not a physical being, so Hashem has got to be inside.
It's true. This pathway of I-8 is when you feel divorced, when I can't focus on positive. And I know Hashem is inside, but that's not helping me right now. I know that's true, but it doesn't help me right now. It's not doing me any good right now. So if that's where you are, so then if you say, Hashem, where are you? That'll bring you. The story I always like to tell about this pathway, it was a person who used to watch the old city every day to Kola. We used to live in Kola together. And he said, you know, I'm having a really hard time. So you're, you know, you walk down the street, and people, Jewish, not Jewish, really are not clear how they should be dressing. So, you know, it's summer, it's hot, and it's not exactly pleasant. You're walking the streets, and there's like a lot of people, the dress could be a lot more tanua, as Rav Baran put it, the poor people, they got this, they just don't have the money in the summer to afford well-apportioned clothes, and somehow they just cut down because they can't afford it. whatever the exact problem is, this is what it is. So, what do I do? He's like, I'm torturing myself. I go, I feel like so bad. The whole trip from Shar Yaakov, even before sometimes, I'm walking and just, oh, there's another group, and you just try to love it, and try, and it just doesn't do it. Like, can I just close my eyes and bang into someone? Like, what am I supposed to do? I can't exactly close my eyes and bang into someone. He said, I guess theoretically I can come in Chatzos and say, yes, that's one option, but that option doesn't work for me. I'm trying to go far away, it's not happening. So what am I supposed to do? What do I take a bus? The bus is even worse. What do I do? Go to Shar Shechem. Shar Shechem's a little bit better. He said, but I'm afraid to go to Shar Shechem. I don't feel comfortable. I just don't. That was even better times. I don't feel comfortable with Shar Shechem. I mean, it's worrisome for me. So I told him, I said, you're right. Good points are not going to work now. You're tormented. Don't stay tormented. Use a tormented. Like it doesn't say, we're lazy. Change around the laziness and the hidden character of Hashem in this situation by saying, Hashem, where are you? Sure, where are you? That'll, he said, wow, that really worked. That works. Instead of being tormented, I'm somewhere where I'm actively searching for Hashem. See, good points don't work here. I feel like I've been burnt. I'm burnt. I see whatever I said, I'm burnt. I'm in pain. What do I do now? Search. Said, Hashem, where are you? That'll work. That will totally work. And that's the same thing when a person is tormented for whatever reason. The minute he turns it around to Hashem, where are you? Everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. Everything's perfect. It just needs to get there. So if I'm suffering, I'm in torment, just like that person with his eyes, whatever might have happened, if I feel like it, if I have a presence of mind to remember, and I'm able to push myself away, I can turn and say, where are you? And just change it all around. It's my choice. It's really, sometimes we notice we're in this terrible mood because of whatever happened, something didn't go my way, it wasn't my plan, it wasn't this, it wasn't that. And, you know, like, I just can't get out of it. And I can't get out of it. I just have to remember to search for Hashem, say, where are you, and do it. You know? And that's when Azam will not work. It's not Torah, it's the Derech Eretz part. Torah, very beautiful. Torah, everything's good. Melochot, it's Kodesh Hashem. Like, this is right here. Everything's wonderful. God's here. Well, I don't feel that now. And telling me God's here, it's not going to work now. Because I feel bad. Whatever I might have seen, or whatever I might have done, or whatever was done to me, or this problem, or that problem, or the other problem, or that. This trouble's bothering me. That's bothering me. So telling me, well, Hashem's right here. I don't know why. Right now, it's not working for me. So then we have to take out another tool, and that tool is called Ayah. You say, where are you? Help me. Ayah, you couldn't go there. So you access the highest place, the Mount of Sussum, and you're recreated as a new human being. And this really, when you call out with your whole heart, it creates incredible, like, I can't begin to describe how powerful this lesson is. It just changed everything, anything, any problem. That's just the way it is. The lesson is, you can't stay in Ayah. You can't stay. I is when you're like, Hashem is not there. You can't feel Hashem. We know Hashem is there. You can't feel Hashem. We have to go to Azamra. We have to go to Melochot Eretz Kodesh. But I have to know that there's a bechinah called Ayin, so that when I'm searching for Hashem, I can access joy no matter what. Even when it's like, but I'm tortured now. I can't. I'm stressed. I'm worried about this, that, and the other thing. Okay, Ayin.
It's a husky bath of light.
Yep, mamish, and that's the way to do it. And the other, many other teachings are not going to get you through. That's what this is for. That's what this is. And that's the hidden. On the contrary, part of it is to overcome my laziness and turn into Hashem. So now I have no choice. Or I can suffer, one or the other. Whatever I prefer. My choice. But I don't really want to suffer.
You turn the key, lock yourself in.
Uh Uh-huh.
And you hate it.
Uh-huh.
And you hate itself.
Yep.
Where you punch holes in it.
Yeah. Dive in, and then it's all gone. You're not suffering at all. No problem whatsoever. Because he's here after all. Just have to search for him. Where are you? Jerusalem, where are you? But if I don't search, so I can't. It's not going to be good enough. And you, I don't know, you meet people also. You say, God's right here. He's like, yeah, good, but my car is totaled. Like, he doesn't even hear you. He doesn't hear. I don't mean, God's right here. What does that mean? He doesn't know what it means. He doesn't talk to him. Speak to him. Who's the, like, what are you talking about? But I, if he uses it, he can take it. Thank you so much.